God bless. This is Dick Gregory. You're listening to Make It Plain with Mark Thompson.
John McCain had a Joe the Plumber rally today. He's really put. They're grabbing at straws. And then Sarah Palin was doing a roll call at a rally. Mildred the teacher, Bob the bus driver. I mean, they were just having, you know, Bob the builder. They were going on. Well, in a few moments, we're going to talk to John the farm worker. So stay tuned for that. BlackCommentator.com, as you all know, joins us on Thursdays. And a piece this week is entitled Workers Who Are Left Out in the Cold Forever, Solidarity America. My guest is a labor organizer and former union organizer. His union work started when he became a local president of the Newspaper Guild in the early 70s. He was a reporter for 14 years for newspapers in New York State. In addition to labor work, he is organizing family farmers as they struggle to stay on the land under enormous pressure from factory food producers and land developers. John Funicello joins us now from BlackCommentator.com. John, how are you, sir?
Pretty good. Thank you, Mark.
It's a pleasure to have you. All this talk, as you know, about Joe the Plumber. I don't know that I've heard a single word this campaign season about farm workers. Am I right about that?
I have not heard myself. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think anybody's mentioned farm workers, and they're some of the more important people in the country.
No question about it. No question about it. To give us a report on the State of the Union right now where it regards our farm workers, John.
Well, they are virtually in the same condition as they were in the 30s.
Mm.
We have a two-tiered system of workers in the country, at least two, and they are the second tier. That means they're the second class, and they have a minimum wage, but it's lower than the minimum for everybody else. And it isn't just them; it's people like waitresses as well, waiters, and some other. But mostly, it's agricultural farm workers, and they don't have, in most places, the right to organize unions. That's state by state, mm-hmm. because they weren't given that in the federal law. So several states have done it, California mostly, most notably. But in other places, they have struggled to organize just to talk to the employers, to the growers all over the country, whether it's Florida or Texas or Arizona or Colorado or Michigan or Ohio. And they're all over the country, and they work in tomato fields and cucumber fields in the Carolinas, and in tomatoes in Ohio and Michigan, and in every kind of crop in California.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's probably the biggest state for farm workers, and they do have a law there, but the law, like so many others, was not enforced very well.
Sure.
And it led Cesar Chavez, who was the founder and president for most of the time of the United Farm Workers, said in the 80s, about 20 years ago, he said, you know, sometimes I think it would be better if we rescinded the law, in meaning California, and start all over again. That's how bad it was.
Now, John, you have a bit of history in your piece. I really encourage people to read it again at BlackCommentator.com, workers who are left out in the cold forever. Roosevelt, FDR,
yes.
This was a compromise on his part to leave the right to organizers federally, to leave farm workers out of that equation. Tell us about that.
Well, the anti-union, essentially anti-worker sentiment among the powers, corporate America, I would say. I don't think they referred to it as that at the time, but they were just as powerful and just as anti-worker and anti-union as they were then as they are now, or they have been in the last 20 years. This was a real struggle, and of course it was the crisis of the crash in 29 and the Great Depression through most of the 30s. That's why they say that the crisis also presents some opportunities, and the opportunity was to provide something for working people, and it was a law that would require, or would allow them to form unions and represent themselves and negotiate collectively for wages, benefits, working conditions, and other things. And mm-hmm. So he wanted that to get passed, and they were not very, they didn't look on it with great favor. And he, the compromise was that, yes, you can have this for industrial workers and other workers, but you can't, we can't do that for farm workers. And even then, of course, it was a very, very important part of the food system in the country is to keep the wages low of the workers who planted and harvested and tended and packed for shipping. That was very important. So he figured, FDR figured that, and his administration figured that they'd be able to get that for, it was a, it seemed like a natural thing that if you're going to get it for all these other people, yes, you're going to get it for farm workers as well, agricultural workers of every kind. And and so they did agree on it. And it's been 72, 73 years now, and they still don't have it. And they still work for very little. They're very often unprotected from the pesticides and herbicides that are sprayed on the fields. And often they go into the fields right after they've been sprayed. And they're covered with it. They bring it home with them. Sometimes there are kids who work in the field. And they're all exposed to these kinds of things. That's not supposed to be the way it is, but it is the way it happens very often.
John Funicello, who is here with us, he is the columnist in BlackCommentator.com this week, workers who are left out in the cold forever. He is a union organizer. He is organizing family farmers as we speak. Farmers. Now, John, maybe I missed something.
Yes.
We still get our food from farms and farm workers, right? It doesn't come in from it doesn't come in from outer space, correct?
Yeah. Well,
not I mean, because it seems to me this ought to be fundamental. I just want to be sure. That's where food still comes from the farm,
food,
right?
Food still does, but of course, we're talking about there was a man named Kerry McWilliams back in the 30s. I'm sure he was doing his work in the 20s as well, but in the 30s he published a book called Factories in the Field. And this is essentially what we have. And he was criticizing the conditions in those days with his book, Factories in the Field. And I think, you know, we are told that we can't produce our food unless we use the industrial system like that, which requires sweated labor. And so this is the... It's really... a pretty complete propaganda that we have to produce our food this way, that small farmers, family farmers, couldn't possibly feed the country or the world, et cetera, except that where we have not tampered with the systems in other countries, the peasants and indigenous farmers have produced food for the people. And you know, that is gradually changing with a globalized economy. That is changing. That we are removing people from their small parcels of land, so that cash crops can be grown to pay off, essentially the government debt that was accumulated through the International Monetary Fund or the World Bank or something else. And all of it is, of course, based on we're here to help you.
John, how many people are we talking about these days here in America in terms of farm workers? We have numbers.
I don't have any offhand, but it's probably, I can say in New York, all of the agricultural workers, including migrant workers, probably 70,000. But there are hundreds of thousands around the country.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably, I don't know what it would be in California, but it's hundreds of thousands.
I just want to share something from your piece in Black Commentator. The reality for farm workers is that no one is talking about their working and living conditions as a campaign issue, but then they don't vote much. That's true? They don't?
They don't vote much because poor people don't vote.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's one of the reasons that they're always ignored as a group, and they are looked at as a group. You know, it's like the voting. If you don't have a good address,
right,
you're
right,
not going to be able to vote. And that shouldn't be the way it is, but it is. And there are people who are advocates for farm workers all over the country, but again, they're small groups. They're all over the place. There are many of them, maybe thousands of them, and they all do a little bit, but they never come together to make it a major issue in the country. Besides, one of the things I did say in the piece this week is if we paid the true cost of our food, we'd probably be paying twice as much.
Mm.
And, you know, when you think about it, that is a shock to people. And but it's like everything else. We don't pay the true cost of a lot of things in the country. But the true cost of food, if you're going to produce it in a healthy environment, it's pretty expensive. And the people who plant it and who tend it and who harvest it and who pack it for shipment, those people are, you know, the labor is squeezed so that there is the smallest possible cost for labor, and that's how we get our cheap food policy. And they're not the only ones in the food system. Small farmers are also squeezed.
Yeah, yeah. John Funicello, BlackCommentator.com. The U.S. Department of Labor several years ago found that despite the increased demand for American-grown fruits and vegetables, farm workers' wages have stagnated or have declined. A department report of 2001 described farm workers as being in, quote, significant economic distress. This does not even take into account the handful of cases in Florida in the last decade in which employers have been cited for holding workers in virtual slavery at low or no wages. A case in point for growers who do pay is the situation of workers in the tomato fields of Florida. They pick tomatoes in 32-pound buckets, for which they are paid 45 cents for each bucket. That price had not increased by more than a few pennies for 30 years. Workers of today have to pick twice the number of tomatoes to earn the current minimum wage as they did to earn the minimum wage of 1980. Generally speaking, that is not humanly possible. John Funicello with us from BlackCommentator.com, just reading a bit from his piece, Workers Who Are Left Out in the Cold Forever. This ought to be more of a discussion, but you're right, it never is. Even when it's not in the campaign season, This is not something that is addressed as it ought to be, John, and that's criminal.
That is true. It is criminal, and there are people. I know that in New York City and some other industries, there have been charges of slavery, if not virtual virtual slavery, if not slavery. You know, in the textile industries, and very often with undocumented workers. And but it can happen with documented workers or workers who are citizens. It can happen with anybody if the conditions are right and or wrong. But this is the way it is.
32-pound bucket, 45 cents. We pay for that tomato in that one tomato in that bucket, $1.99 a pound. Now for the whole bucket, that's $63.68. The whole bucket costs $63.68 if we buy it in the grocery store, but the worker who picked it got 45 cents.
Yep, now that worker may have planted the tomato plant and may have weeded or tended it or whatever during the course of the growing season and then harvested it. And so it's true that 45 cents is just a part of the cost of raising the tomato, but when you look at the disparity in that cost and the price, the wage and the price rather, there's an awful lot of room in there for an awful lot of profit.
If you know all the stuff that we're propagandized with every day that we're made to think is important, including I'm big, John. When I teach, I talk about the power of suggestion in media. How if something is repeated enough on radio and television, we begin to believe it, you know.
Absolutely.
You hear a song on the radio you don't like, and then they keep playing it, and then sooner or later you start liking the song and start repeating the words, right? And the same thing with food. You know how you'll be sitting at home, you won't even be thinking about food, and a food commercial come on, and you'd be hungry all of a sudden.
That's right.
Imagine if it were as repetitive, just what I just read, that when you pay $1.99 a pound for a piece of produce, that worker barely got a third of that. I mean, how can I now go and buy, look at a tomato the same way again? Or pay that, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
that is
unbelievable.
Absolutely, and it should make a difference. It should make a difference. We should know, there is an organization of a rural organization that has a project called Eating is a Moral Act. And they have palm cards with a list of things you should be aware of when you eat.
Wow.
It's a great idea.
Unbelievable. And, but, you know, we celebrate Dr. King.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't have a holiday if he weren't killed, and he wouldn't have been killed if he wasn't going to help lowly sanitation workers.
Absolutely.
So how can we emulate him and celebrate him and not read what you've written for us? And think of the lowly farm worker.
That's right. Nobody talks about them. You keep them essentially hidden, and you don't. All of a sudden, it's as if you looked at the material, the advertising, and the writing about food, et cetera, and there are slick magazines all over the place now with gourmet food. And recipes and restaurants and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think I have ever seen a piece about the farm workers in any of those things that are for general circulation. I see it in some of the progressive newsletters and things like that, but in the general circulation papers and magazines and in those, at least, I've rarely seen any reference to how the food actually comes to be.
Mm.
Where does that come from? You know, it's not magic.
Right.
It grows.
That's what we would think. John Funicello is the author of Workers Who Are Left Out in the Cold Forever, blackcommentator.com. We'll take a quick break, come back and get some of your calls, 866-99-SIRIUS, 866-997-4748. This is Sirius Left. 146 MIP.
all due, and the baby needs shoes, and I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter of a pound, but I'm busted. I got a cow that went dry, and a hen that won't lay, a big stack of bills that gets bigger each day. The county's gonna haul my belongings away, cause I'm busted.
Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
This is Make It Plain.
We are war. Oh, 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 oh. We are war with terrorism, racism.
You know, ignorance is bliss. You know, how many of us would rather not have even talked to John tonight, knowing about this. You know, just go on with our daily lives, being comfortable, eating everything in sight. Without really having this on our conscience, but we ought to, and we ought to deal with this, and I hope someone, please, sir, would think of this and do the right thing, which is exactly what John Funicello, by the way, is the writer of the piece in BlackCommentator.com this week. You know, Black Commentator joins us every Thursday. Workers who are left out in the cold forever, where regards farm workers, you're organizing, and not in the literal sense, I guess, because there are no unions, but you're helping to organize family farmers to stay on the land that they have. How can people support what you're doing?
Well, one of the things they can do is ask where their food comes from in the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
There are the supermarkets now, big and small chains, are responding to the customers who want local food. And one of the things you can do is ask where the food comes from and tell them that you would like to see more local food in the supermarkets, and there are places now, New York is one of them, where there is a move to allow school districts to buy food from local farmers, and they're encouraged to do that, to serve in the cafeterias.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a completely different kind of food. It is not bred to travel. It is bred to taste good and to eat.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, that's one of the things. And we talk about farm workers. They have very little control over almost anything you want to name in their lives, especially when they're working in the fields. Farmers have a bit more control, but they are at the mercy of the whole array of forces that are really the same ones that control farm workers. The commodity markets and the regulations that are set up by departments of agriculture at the state level and USDA at the national level, et cetera. So all of these forces, the attitude has been get bigger, get out. For family farmers, and in the fields where farm workers and especially the huge operations in say the West and the Southwest and Florida and places like that, it's just keep quiet and do the work and
mm-hmm.
be glad you have a job.
Right,
that's
right.
One thing we hear all the time. You know, be glad you have a job. Whatever
yeah.
it is, it doesn't matter that you can't live on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're working so many hours a day. I mean, the schedule is phenomenal. Farm workers, not all of them have this kind of schedule, but so many of them do, and they may have to get up at 4:00 in the morning to get to a place where they can be picked up, where they can go to the place where they're going to do their day's work, which may start at 6 or 7 o'clock. Of course, if it's raining, they may not do it. They may sit there, and they don't get paid for that.
They don't get paid when it rains.
No,
nope,
they don't get paid.
Right.
So whenever they're not actually bent over working or whatever, they're not getting paid. And, of course, if it's piecework, they have to do their work as fast as they can, because when the pay doesn't go up for so many years, the only increase you get is that you work faster. And, you know, after about 40, you don't work so fast.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Let's get some calls in. Bill,
okay.
Bill's in North Carolina. Bill, God bless you. You're on there with John Funicello. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Funicello, first I want to thank you for the efforts that you're doing, and I pray God's blessings on your effort. One of the things, I am a unionized worker here in North Carolina, and one of the things that, some of the things that being unionized will do for these people is that it will first give them a livable wage, it will give them health insurance, it will give them job security, it will give them good working conditions. Now, I am a delivery driver, and I deliver in a rural area, farm area here in North Carolina. And some of the conditions that I see some of these farm workers working in are really deplorable. Some of the homes that they live in looks like it's their boss's grandparents' home that's about to fall in, and you see maybe two, maybe three families living in this one home. Their conditions are really bad. And if people were to really know what they're going through in order to provide food for us to eat, then I'm sure they'd be a little more concerned. But I just don't think that people actually know the conditions that I see of these farm workers working in the fields every day.
Oh, I agree. I think that that really nobody knows. It's a very it's to say it's an open secret is really to understate it amazingly. But if you want to know, then you can find out. But everybody's life is so busy today that finding out the conditions that that somebody lives in or works in, when it has a direct connection to you, especially something as vital as food, it's too much for them. Mm-hmm. They're not doing it, and one of the reasons that people are not involved in civic life and is because they're too busy. They're working two or three jobs in each family, and that's really accelerated tremendously in the last 25 years or since 1980 thereabouts.
Yeah.
There's one thing I'd like to do to help your cause. If you could give me your email address, what I'd like to do is take some pictures of some of the conditions that I see of some of the farm workers and email them to you, and maybe some way or another that they could be seen by others.
You can send them to blackcommentator.com.
Yeah, go to that, and you can send everything there. You can reach them through that, Bill.
I would appreciate that.
Okay, Bill.
All right.
But also, just as an aside, there are North Carolina has become one of the places where the hog factories have moved in at a tremendous rate. It's probably one of the biggest outside of the Midwest, and there are there's another problem in North Carolina and all across the South, in particular in the head of the Black Farmers and Agriculturists Association lives in North Carolina, and he's been working on the issue of black land loss for a number of years, many years. And it is also another problem, but, you know, we can discuss that another time. But that is a tremendous problem. And he likes to say that a landless people is a powerless people. And once all of the land is gone, the power is gone as well, or the strength of the community is gone.
Yeah, good point, good point. Bill, thank you for your call. Don't forget to go to blackcommentator.com. Jim's in Illinois. Jim, God bless you. Go right ahead.
Hi, Mark. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I just had basically one point, and then of course listening some more it has expanded, but the one fact that that needed to also be said along with farming, that the current largest cattle raiser in America is Cargill. It's a corporation. Now, I'm pretty sure they're not cutting anything or, you know, losing anything like the farmer himself is, the one that produces on the small time. And, you know, they're the largest raiser, and let's face it, the largest cost, and I am a trucker, is trucking. In, you know, actually getting the food to the grocery store and then on to the people. And it took what happened this year with the fuel prices and everything in trucking to actually get that across to some people. They really didn't realize, you know, what just happens with all of the food. The way I see it is the seed is processed, and then it's trucked, and then it's grown and harvested, and then it's trucked, and then it's stored, then it's trucked, and it's processed again for eating, then it's trucked, and then it's stored again, and then it's trucked again, and then it's stocked, and then it's trucked again, and then it's put in the store, you know, and then it goes to the people. So, you know, I had to add all of that in there. This is fantastic. I sure hope somebody comes along and realizes that we've been biting the hand that feeds us for years, and hopefully the thing can change, and I commend everybody on your efforts.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Jim, for your call. Appreciate that. Bob in Kansas City. Bob, God bless you. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This issue here kills so many birds with one stone. Calling from Kansas City, Teamsters Local 41. Called you before, Mark. I grew up farming in a small community south of Kansas City. You know, my first job was working on the farm, and the guy that I worked for, he worked a full-time job in the city, came down on the evenings and on the weekends. He had to work that full-time job to be able to run his farm and pay me $1.75 an hour. And, Mark, that wasn't in the 60s. That was 1987.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was darn glad to have that job. And, you know, looking back on it today, I still feel that farming should be, and to me is, one of the last honorable things that a person can do in today's society, and you know, their pay and their it should be commensurate to what they do for us. Unfortunately, with the cost of equipment and the cost of land and everything else, it's just and of course the fuel pricing for us guys to haul their stuff around for them, it's very, very difficult for them. And I do appreciate something that another person said. I believe your guest there said something about local growers selling their goods in the grocery stores. There's a gentleman here in the Kansas City area. His name is Jim Queen. I happen to grow up in the same small town that he lives in, and he runs Queen's Prime Shoppers in the Kansas City area. And this man makes a point out of selling local growers' foods in his stores. And that is what keeps his hand one notch up from the Walmart store that's across the street. And we all know how much they love us Teamsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, good evening, gentlemen.
Thank you, Bob.
I totally support the cause.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Bob. Thank you for your call. And one more, Jim in North Carolina. Jim, God bless you. You're on here with John Funicello. Go right ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Mark. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your wonderful programming.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Listen, there's something that I had an eye-opener on that kind of surprised me a little bit. Ran into a local farmer of mine at the food wholesale club, and I'm pushing my basket, and he had a pallet, one of those pallet trucks. And when we checked out, I stayed behind him and talking to him. His bill was $580. Now, it was 100% candy. There was $580 worth of candy. I found that quite remarkable, and that's what he was buying for, you know, the people that worked his farm. You know, and I'm my God, I was just thinking, if you just put that kind of money into just a little bit better wages. But I guess that's what they do.
Yeah, the one shot that's a very interesting incident, because if you figure, I don't know, I guess it's the PR value or whatever of something like that. Look what I'm doing for the people, and
it's actually the sugar content.
You know, what comes. Yeah, it would come to an awful lot more than $500 or $600 if, and it would be a lot more frequent if they paid a decent wage so that they could live, you know, with a decent wage and benefits and maybe a pension.
No doubt, no question about it. Jim, thank you for your call. Yeah. I really want to encourage you and others, and I really appreciate all the calls, Jim, and all of you. I really want to encourage you all to go to the website, blackcommentator.com, read this piece, Workers Who Are Left Out in the Cold Forever by John Funicello. You can email John there at blackcommentator.com. John, we appreciate you and what you do. God bless you, and anything we can do to be supportive, do let us know, okay?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Mark.
All right, please keep in touch. I mean that, okay?
I will.
All right, take care, buddy.
So long.
All right, take care.